You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Rambam says that we have a Kabbalah, that all the books of Tanakh, of Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim we have today, which are actively read, analyzed, incorporated into the various kriyas we do during the year, especially the Nevi'im that serve as the source of our Haftaras each and every week, the Chumash, which we use, but obviously for the Parshas HaShavua, and unquestionably the Ksubim, which we read on various Yom Tovim during the year. What's interesting is the Rambam quotes that La'asa Lovo, when it comes to Yemos HaMashiach, the texts of Nevi'im, the texts of Ksubim, his lashon is Asidim Libatel, will no longer be functionally used. The Mos HaMashiach, the only sefer of Nevi'im and Ksuvim that's going to still be very important to be read and analyzed and studied when it comes to Mos HaMashiach and onwards, is Megillas Esther, which we read on Purim. The Rambam says, Harehi Kayemes, it is considered as permanent in our halachic historical record, kechamishei chumshei Torah, like the five books of the Torah itself. It's also considered of important, eternal importance, not only as the chumish itself, kehilcha shel Torah shel Baal Peh, like all the laws of the Torah shel Peh, she'einan betelim le'olam, that will have eternal value, not only before the Mashiach comes, but after the Mashiach comes, and the ultimate redemption takes place. And then he says that Yimei Purim lo yavatlu, the days of Purim, what happened during Purim, will not be basically thrown away and basically forgotten about. And he brings a pasuk from the Megillah, Yimei Purim elo lo yavrim v'techa Yehudim, Vizichram lo Yosef mi zaro. So quite obviously there is a tremendous emphasis of the importance of Megillas Esther. Quite obviously the Megillas Esther is the historical record which highlights the Yontif of Purim we'll be celebrating a couple of days from now. And what I want to do today is understand the importance of Megillas Esther and Purim that makes Megillas Esther a document that must be kept on record for all generations to come, for eternity, like the Chumash and Torah Shel Baal Peh. What makes the Megillah and Purim so special? And in actuality, I want to compare it to the Yom Tov of Pesach. Because in the Chumash, one of the most definitive narratives that the Torah is marich upon is our going into Golas Mitzrayim, what happened in Golas Mitzrayim, the redemption process from Golas Mitzrayim, and all the phenomena took place after that. So of all the Yom Tovim of Pesach, Shulis, and Sukkot, the Shlosh Regalim, the Pesach narrative of the redemption of Pesach is highlighted by Arichus in Achamish Echum Sheterah and mentioned over and over again. In fact, the Gemara records, and we paskin this way, there's a mitzvah to be zochi yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach, not only on the night of the 15th of Chodesh Nisan, when the miracle of the redemption of Klal Yisrael ultimately was completed, but in fact, we have a halachic mandate on a deraisa level to be zochi yitzias Mitzrayim kol hashana kula, the entire year, both by day and by night. In fact, that's why Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is the third Pasha of Kriyashma that we say twice a day, both by Shachris and by Mariv, That's the Kiyum Daraisa of Zikaron and Yetzias B'Kol HaShana Kula. So if I had to look at the Chumash, the most significant redemption that the Chumash talks about is the redemption of Pesach. When it comes to the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, what the Rambam is pointing out, the most famous redemption mentioned in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim is the redemption that took place during the time of Purim, as we underwent redemption, because after Purim, with the help of the Persian Empire, we were able to go and return to Eretz Israel and build Bayis Sheni, establish the second Commonwealth of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Israel, to return to Yeshiva Eretz Israel. So what we're going to do today is understand the importance of the Pesach redemption, the importance of the Purim redemption, the various similarities between them, and the major differences as well, and with it perhaps develop an understanding when it comes to the hashkafa of Jewish history, what we can derive from these two redemptions of the past to apply to the historical period we're living in now, and all the phenomena that we're facing around the world when it comes to the anti-Semitism that has reached levels that we haven't seen for years upon years, to understand what's happening now based upon the two redemptions of the past, and to come to certain conclusions based upon this analysis. So listen very carefully. The first thing I want to say is that there's a Gemara in Masechtas Sanhedrin that talks about the concept of a tradition we have recorded by Yeshaya HaNavi. And the Gemara in Masechtas Sanhedrin dwells upon this over and over again, especially in the perek called Chelek in Masechtas Sanhedrin. And that is to understand that redemption has two different types when it comes to the format of redemption. The Gemara tells us, based upon the Pasuk Be'itach Hishena, Pasuk in Yeshaya, that there's a redemption called a redemption Gula Shezachu, that we are worthy of receiving. And then there is a concept of redemption Shelo Zachu. We weren't worthy of receiving this redemption, but Hashem, because of His divine promises, granted us this redemption nevertheless. And when the Gemara tries to contrast on a superficial level, what are the differences between a Gula Shezachu that we're Zochu to have and a Gula Shelo Zochu, the Gemara says that when it comes to Gula Shezachu, you see open miracles taking place in front of your eyes, which nobody can doubt, is the manifest hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechfeldo Biatzmo, helping us be redeemed and bringing us into a situation of Gula. In fact, the historical redemption that really represents this is the Yom Tov of Pesach. In the Haggadah we read, Ani V'lo Malach, when you're going to read the historical narrative in the Haggadah, from the Psukim, the Mamar HaChazal that are brought there on the night of Pesach, you're going to be able to see that all the events that led up to the redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim, including the actual redemption, what happened afterwards, was the open hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani V'lo Malach, I'm doing it, Hashem says. There's no Malach involved over here. Ani V'lo Shliach. In fact, when Hashem introduced Himself to us at Maimer HaSinai with the Aseres HaDibras at the time of Kabbalah Satira, Hashem introduced Himself, Anocha Hashem Elokecha, Shehoseisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. Remember, I'm the God who redeemed you from Mitzrayim, Bechvodi Ubiatzmi. You saw the revelation of Hashem's divine Shechina taking place. You saw miracles, open miracles, all the makos were open miracles before your eyes. The miracles leading up to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The miracles after Yetzias Mitzrayim. When it came to the miracles that took place at the Yam Suf, which the Haggadah highlights were many more miracles than the miracles they saw in Mitzrayim. The miracles later on in the Midbar before Kabbalah Satorah. Mon min Hashemayim, a Beramayim, that gave them the hydration they needed in the Midbar. Anani, a cover that protected them. Culminating in the miracle of Kabbalah Satorah, where natural law also was shown to be turned topsy-turvy, inside out, outside in. People were able to hear what you normally can see. People were able to see what you normally can hear. A lot of miracles showing that natural law is under the control of Hashem. At a moment's notice, He can change it and be Mishana natural teva, if that's Hashem's desire at that point in time. And therefore, Pesach represents, according to Chazal, a gula shezachu, the mysterious nefesh of Klal Yisrael, to risk their lives in doing various activities of shechting the carbon Pesach, b'mavatli v'adazara of Mitzrayim in the world at large, not worrying about a pogrom of being hurt and spilling the blood outside their doors, on the doorways, throwing the carcass of the animal outside to show that we literally were mavatl, we showed desecration to your belief that they have to worship this lamb as representation of the zodiac concept of a lamb in the star formation, being the chief deity of idolatrous society of Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael, when Moshe Nefesh, the Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, risking their life and telling them 5 days before the actual 15th that we're going to make a Pesach Seder and kill your deity and eat it, with total disdain to the beliefs of the empire of Mitzrayim. And they were Moshe Nefesh. They all underwent circumcision to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. And B'Domayichai, with the Messias Nefesh of Klal Yisrael, that caused such a Kiddush Shem Shemayim that we had open miracles when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach. When it comes to the Yom Tov of Purim, it's quite interesting, unlike the Chumash, that Hashem's name is never mentioned in the Megillah explicitly from beginning to end. It's only told to us through Teresh Baal Peh that every time the word HaMelech is mentioned in the actual Megillah, it really is a reference to the Rabbeinu Shem, who's the Melech Malchei HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem's actual physical presence was not visible in events of Purim as the events were taking place. Only in retrospect were you able to see the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating all the miracles that took place during the time of Purim. This is called the concept of a Nes Nister, miracles that are hidden and only seen in retrospect. So Purim represents, according to Chazal, an example of a Gula Shel Lo Zachu. Why was Lo Zachu? I'll get to very shortly. But if you want to know what a paradigm of a Gula Shel Zachu is, it is Pesach. If you want to know what paradigm of a Gula Shel Lo Zachu is, it's basically Purim. Now, another factor I want to point out. What is interesting to note is when it comes to Gula Shel Zachu, as I just mentioned, the redemption was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvado u'b'atzma, Nivel HaMalach. That's a Gula Shel Zachu, and whenever we have a Gula Shel Zachu, it's Hashem b'chvado u'b'atzma, with open miracles before our eyes. When it comes to Purim, Chazal tell us the ability for us to accomplish what we accomplished, for the miracle of Purim to take place, if you read the Megillah very carefully from beginning to end, and you analyze the way the Gemara Maseches Megillah analyzes the Megillah from beginning to end. It's one of the few Megillahs that we have full Gemara texts in Maseches Megillah analyzing the narrative, analyzing the psukim of the Megillah from beginning to end. you find that in this Geula, the non-Jewish government of that time, the superpower of the world, the Persian Empire, helped facilitate the miracle of Purim taking place on an open level. And they also facilitated, ultimately, the Geula process, enabling Klal Yisrael later on to be able to return to Eretz Israel, to rebuild a second Beis HaMikdash. They gave us money, supplies. They gave us the ability of being the superpower of that time to have the right on a legal level when it comes to world powers for us to be able to retake our homeland and rebuild the Jewish nation once again in Eretz Israel. That's called in halachic and hashkafic literature, Rishyan HaMalchus, the permission of the Malchus of the world, allowing the Jews to go and facilitating them to go from a gullus to a mice of gula of redemption. So we therefore see that Purim and Pesach represent two types of gulas which Chazal talked about. A gula shezachu, supernatural, which is Pesach. A gula shalozachu, which goes b'derech ha-teva, based upon natural law, with the help of the non-Jewish world, is represented by the Yom Tov of Purim. So the first thing I want to mention is that when it comes to La'asad Lavai, when we see that according to the Rambam, quoting Chazal, that the two major areas of redemption that are going to be highlighted after even the Mashiach comes for eternity is the Gula Shezachu contained in the Torah concerning Pesach and the Gula concerning what happened during Purim contained in the narrative of Megillas Esther. Those phenomena are going to be remembered and spoken about even after the Mashiach comes and the ultimate final redemption takes place. The first simple analysis of this is Hashem's trying to teach us that when it comes to Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis on the Jewish people, that whether you have open miracles or hidden miracles, Agula Shezachu, Agula Shalozachu, if redemption is needed, Hashem will make sure the redemption takes place and the promises made to Klal Yisrael will come true. And all the haftachos he gave to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov and the Bris Avos will be fulfilled in the historical narrative when it comes to Klal Yisrael all the way to the end of time. And the fact of the matter is, by having the Chumash narrative of redemption of Pesach preserved for eternity and the narrative of the Purim redemption preserved for an eternity, we therefore see the ever-present existence of Hashem's Hashgacha Pratos and Klal Yisrael being fulfilled for thousands and thousands of years. And therefore, obviously, we can understand the importance of having the Chumash narrative maintained, the Deraisa text, but even rabbinical texts like the Megillah, which is part of the Ksubim, that text is going to stay forever to remind us that even when we're not zocha for an open redemption, we're going to have a hidden format of redemption. It's going to be a nisim, nistarim, to remember Hashem is always with us, as he promised he would be from the very beginning. The Megillah gives an edus nemana concerning this specific phenomenon. Very important. Another important similarity, before I get to more particulars, of Pesach and Purim, is that ultimately the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the ultimate culmination of not only our physical redemption, but Pedus Nafshenu, our spiritual redemption, which was Mekuyim, by Pesach being completed by Kabbalah Satara. So, Ois Kenoshi Lachticha, this is the Ois that basically Hashem said to Moshe, that's going to prove that you are the Navi Emes. But Yaakov in Mitzrayim, when I take you out of Mitzrayim, Tavin Elokim Laharazel, you worship Hashem and Har Sinai, and Mekabal the Torah. So, in the Chumash, the highlight of the redemption Pesach is finalized with Kabbalah HaTorah, Nasev and Ishmael. when it comes to Megillah, the highlight of the Purim story, the Purim narrative, the end of the Megillah says, Kimu v'kiblu, that Klal Yisrael once again, after the miracle of Purim, made a public reacceptance and reaffirmation of Kabbalah Satira, Kimu Mashakiblu Kavar. We had the second Matan Torah taking place with Klal Yisrael saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anase V'Nishma, in the historical context of the completion of the miracle of Purim. Another similarity between the narrative of Pesach and the narrative of Purim. But what I want to point out this morning is that there are other similarities that I want to highlight for you because of various things I'm going to demonstrate to you is the actual format of Jewish history that we've experienced for thousands of years. And we're experiencing that format right now, this moment in time, all around the world, when it comes to Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Listen very carefully. In the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the Rabbanu Shem promised to Avraham and Lech Lecha four promises to the Jewish people. Number one, the Rabbanu Shem said to Avraham, for these promises to take place that I'm going to mention very shortly, and for Klal Yisrael to be zocheh of all the brachos and haftachos I'm giving to you, they have to be zocheh, they have to be shomer Torah v'mitzvos, they have to listen to Hashem and maintain their emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every facet of their life. So all the brachos are contingent in their totality when Klal Yisrael is zocheh to live in a geula mode, a redemption mode. However, if Klal Yisrael sin and rebel, and chas v'shalom, assimilate and acculturate, undergo spiritual yirida, they will be put momentarily in a gullus mode. And the total power of the other promises that I'm going to mention very shortly to you are not going to be as powerful in gullus mode as they are during geula mode. So that's one of the major phenomenon as I mentioned in the Bris Bein HaBesarim to Avraham Avinu. And the Ori was Megala to Avraham that one of the things Klal Yisrael are going to experience very shortly is a gullus that's going to take place for them in a number of years from now. That gullus ultimately is the gullus going down to Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't mention the name of where they're going to be going, the name of the country. But Yaakov found out, and he realized that's where they're going, and that's where the haftacha of the first gullus taking place is going to take place in the context of Mitzrayim itself. But the fact of the matter is, Klal Yisrael were told there are two modes of Klal Yisrael's existence. If you're worthy, you're in the geula mode. If you're not that worthy, you're in a gullus mode. That's number one. The second promise that Hashem made in the Bris Bein HaBesarim is that Hashem is going to be our magen, our shield. In fact, our Shemoneh Esrei begins with the concept of magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. The way this is conceptually interpreted by the Gedolei HaMefarshim is Hashem promised Klal Yisrael, because you are going to be my chosen people, my Am HaNivchar, my Goy Kadosh, my representatives of my essence of being Hashem and God in this world, you're going to be the Arla Goyim to inspire the world to believe exclusively in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bichvod V'Yatzmo. I'm going to give Klal Yisrael a bracha, a haftacha of indestructibility. Any nation or nations on the face of this world in all the thousands of years, there might be nations that try to destroy the Jewish people, but I am promising that they will not succeed. And that's why we say in the Haggadah on the night of Pesach, we pick up a kos of yayin, kos Yeshuas Esa Rishem Hashem Ekra, v'chol dor v'dor imdom aleinu l'chalaseinu v'hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu mi'adam. Every generation has anti-Semites trying to destroy us, trying to literally eradicate us, commit genocide against us. But Hashem promises, as it says in the Brisbane Abbasarim, in fact, the narrative in the Haggadah follows the narrative mentioning the Brisbane Abbasarim. And the statement is based upon the promise of the Brisbane Abbasarim that we are indestructible as a nation. Rahman al-Islam, they might kill not only thousands, maybe millions of Jews over the centuries trying to eradicate us, but they will not succeed. Hashem is our Magen, and we're promised indestructibility. The third promise given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Havayotze HaChutza, Hashem took Avram outside and said to him, the same way, B'derech HaTeva, you and Sarah cannot have children, but I'm going to allow you to survive and thrive and perform my mitzvahs and fulfill my mission. Mechutz M'derech HaTeva, L'malach M'derech HaTeva. We are not going to be bound by mazalas, by natural law, the Jewish people on an individual level, on a national level, on an international level, will be able to survive and continue to exist in this world on levels that are not seen by any other nation on the face of this world. They'll do things that are literally l'mala m'derech hateva, things that literally cannot be explained based upon natural law. One of the examples is fighting a war. When you have Rabbim Yad Miyatim, a tremendous armies coming from all directions to destroy us, and we are able to overcome them and succeed and win this war against them, this is an example of doing something l'mala m'derech hateva. When political phenomena take place that don't happen to other nations, but happen to Klal Yisrael, this is l'mala m'derech hateva. When a nation is thrown into galus and has the ability to undergo geula and do this again and again and again, and be able to come back to their country and resettle it and establish it again. Most nations don't have that capacity, but this happens to Klal Yisrael. We're going to survive. Michutz miderech hateva l'mala miderech hateva. A mazal Yisrael is what the Gemara says in Shabbos, is a way of encapsulating this. The fourth promise given to Klal Yisrael, if you're my Am HaNivchar, you're going to have a piece of land, a piece of real estate in this world that is exclusively yours for eternity, namely Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is called Emor Rasha. It's not just an inheritance for the Jewish people, it's their heritage. The only other phenomenon that's called Marasha in the Lashon of the Torah is the Torah itself. The Gedolim interpret Marasha means that Torah and Eretz Yisrael not just merely our inheritance from our forefathers, but it's a living inheritance, it's a heritage that has to be handed down from generation to generation. As Torah is handed down from generation to generation, Eretz Yisrael has to be handed down to Klal Yisrael as their Jewish homeland from generation to generation. And this will be until eternity. You will not be able to rob Eretz Yisrael away from the Jewish people, even though people try. It's our homeland, it's our Marasha, and so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo, in our Torah and throughout Amamori Chazal. Now why is this important? Because if you look at the Haftachas of the Brisbane Abbasarim, and you analyze the historical narratives concerning Pesach and Purim, believe it or not, when you look very carefully, you see there's a divine pattern of Hashgacha Pratis in both of these historical episodes of redemption, as I'm going to point out to you, that show there's a certain divine pattern and similarity, which indicates that Jewish history itself has a divine essence, Hashem, orchestrating our historical record, orchestrating our historical existence. And by having the pattern of the Brisbane Abbasarim found in all our major redemptions, is an indication that the haftach of the bris bein abasar is chay v'kayom ad hayom hazeh.
You are listening. Now let me explain to you what I mean. Torah.com.
When it comes to Pesach, and we went into Galus, we have to understand why was Pesach and going into Galus, why was there such a kishi hashibut? Why there was such a difficult subjugation of the Jewish people that took place at the time of Pesach? Chazal tell us some of the causes of the kishi hashibut was, unfortunately, the assimilation and acculturation that Klal Yisrael underwent being in Mitzrayim for 210 years. It was such an assimilation and acculturation that even though we might have tried to stop it by calling ourselves by our initial Hebrew names, wearing our Jewish clothing, speaking in our Jewish tongue, Chazal tell us, nevertheless, because of being close to the Egyptian Empire, we unfortunately were contaminated with Memteshare Tuma, the Tuma of the idolatries of Egypt and all the customs related to idolatry. It was the Tuma Sanefesh for the entire Klal Yisrael. When we assimilate and acculturate, it's a form of rebellion, Rachman Litzlan, against the Rabbeinu Shalom. One of the great Averis we committed in this context was another major Avera. Be mavatel in Egypt, except for Shevet Levi, the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The first mitzvah given to Avraham to make him different than all the other Bnei Noach and Pashas Lech Lecha was the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is so powerful that the Gemara says in Masechtas Nedarim, Gedol Amila Mila is so powerful in contrast to other mitzvahs. There were 13 covenants made concerning the mitzvah of Bris Milah. It's a powerful source of sanctification of the Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael. And believe it or not, as powerful as the Bris is, in their unfortunately sojourning in Egypt, they were mevatel the mitzvah of Bris Milah for whatever reasons I'm not going to go into now. But unfortunately, that was a tremendous, tremendous kitrug and shemayim against the Jewish people. That's why, in order for us to be redeemed, there needed to be a tikkun. And the tikkun that took place was that all the Jews who were not circumcised made sure they were circumcised before the redemption took place, even though they realized as adults they're going out into a midbar and not going to have sufficient time to be healed from the operations which were required when it comes to doing a bris on an adult rather than a little baby. But they were moser nefesh, and the pasuk Yecheskel says, b'damayichayi, that mesiras nefesh, once again reinitiating the bris milah as a prerequisite to be a Jew. And the covenant, the 13 covenants between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allowed Klal Yisrael to elevate themselves. And once we reconnect our HaKadosh Baruch Hu again on a high level of spiritual connection by everybody performing a bris who are not circumcised during their sojourn in Egypt. Another concept of Mesiras Nefesh, as I alluded to before, the willingness to shech the Karban Pesach, the major deity of Egypt, on the 15th of Nisan, which was the time the Egyptians claimed that their deity is at the highest level of its power, to take that deity down and to slaughter it and to eat it in the Sudas Mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach. The Rambam and others spend a lot of time explaining the level of the Bittul of Avodah Zarah, the Kiddush Shem Shemayim Klal Yisrael performed upon the culmination or was going to be the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. That's another B'damai Chayi we mention in Sefer Yecheskel. And Hashem is Megalah to the Jewish people in the Nevuah of Yecheskel. B'damai Chayi, the Mesiras Nefesh, of once again reestablishing Bris as a prerequisite and having the ability to be able to mevatel the Avodah Zarah by the Karban Pesach. Those gave Klal Yisrael ability to have finally a Geula Shezachu, they were Mekadesh Shem Hashem. Literally, it was the Hafta Hashem Bechal Nafshecha, they're willing to risk their lives, physically, in order to Mekayim Hashem's mitzvahs. As the mitzvahs of Pesach are mentioned in Pashas Bo, and therefore Chazal tell us that the Kitri against the Jews was because of the Averis I just mentioned. The Tikkun was the tshuva that was done by the Klal Yisrael to facilitate the Gula and to raise it to a level of a Gula Shezachu. It's number one. Number two, when we underwent the spiritual Yerida, what did Paro and his counselors want to do? They had desired to commit genocide against the Jewish people. But Paro, realizing, as the Ramban explains, that he couldn't be gozer entire anti-Semitic doctrine because they still remembered Yaakov and Yosef and the brachas that Egypt had during that period of time. So quietly he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael by killing the men folk, the boys that were born. And if they weren't going to be killed by the Mialdos, Ha'ivrios, who refused to cooperate, he started throwing the boys of the Jewish people into the Yam to kill them that way. Genocide was his agenda. Even the Inui of Klal Yisrael later on, and the Shibud HaKasha, was a way of weakening the Jewish people and causing us to be diminished in size, in number, and to literally eradicate us one way or another. So we see that there was a gezeira of trying to destroy us. But Hashem was the Magi, never let the Egyptians accomplish their mission. So one of the other promises of the Bris Hashanah came fulfilled. Hashem was Magi, and he protected us. The concept, Limala Miderech HaTeva, the Pasuk says explicitly when it comes to Pesach, the more that we were persecuted and oppressed with the Sheba and Mitzrayim, instead of diminishing our numbers, we reproduce even on a higher level of reproduction. Chazal say in the Medrash that some women carried 6 babies at a time. Tremendous reproductive activities taking place. In a short period of time, for Klal Yisrael to go from 70 neshamas to millions and millions and millions of neshamas to exit from Egypt at that point in time, kashayano ken yir b'v'yifratz, being zochel amalim ederach ateva, to literally push away the oppression, increase our numbers and our size, develop strength and godless, being more powerful, more numerous. This is also the Ma'ala Miderech HaTeva, in contrast to other nations who are persecuted, who are diminished in size and diminished in strength. We saw the miracle of the Ma'ala Miderech HaTeva in this phenomenon as well. Chazal point out that the Makos were all the Ma'ala Miderech HaTeva. There was Shina HaTeva taking place. Bagad, an example. Mayim and water literally eliminate each other. Bagad was a makak made of water and fire, and they coexisted to Mekayim Hashem's Ratzon to be the first missiles ever used in warfare against our enemies. Tremendous makas in Mitzrayim, Nisim in Mitzrayim, Nisim when it came to Kriyas Yamsef in the Midbar, as I mentioned before. This is a kima of the Haftacha, Lamala Miderech HaTeva, the existence of Klal Yisrael. The ultimate, purpose of all of this was not only our redemption in Kabbalah Satorah, but that we should be able then to go into Eretz Israel and be Mekayim, the Haftacha of the Bris Bein Abbasam, Eretz will becoming our Marasha. If it wasn't for the Meraglim, this would have happened earlier. Because of the Meraglim, it was delayed for 40 years. But ultimately, the promise of Marasha took place. And Yeshua brought us into Eretz Israel in 14 years. He conquered Eretz Israel in Melchemes Mitzvahs Lamala Miderech HaTeva, also Lamala Miderech HaTeva, and also divided amongst the Shvatim. So the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim of going from Galus to Geula and having gezeiros of genocide being eradicated by Hashem, and subsisting on l'malah m'derech hatev in every area, and getting the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael at the end, we see that pattern of the Bris Bein Abasurim being the ultimate backdrop of the concept of Zikaron of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But I want to show you something fascinating. Let's look at Purim. We have exact same type of motif. We see in the Megillah that Klal Yisrael are going to be ultimately persecuted because of Averis that they committed. And Yishim ben Yochai with his Talmidim in the Brisa of the Masechta is going to explain to us they were wanting to figure out what were the Gezeros of Purim all about? Why was it Nigzra upon us? The terrible Gezeros Kashavs of the Persian Empire. What Averis did we commit? And some of the suggestions were we bow down to a Tzelem, Avodah Zarah. Others say, Shenenu Mesuda Oysa Rasha, the first thing we see in the Megillah is Jews being brought to a major banquet given by Achashverosh. And Chazal say, what was the purpose of this banquet? To try to publicize to the Jews that the Yirmiyahu HaNavi and other statements of Chazal saying that Galus is only going to be 70 years. And according to Achashverosh, the count of 70 years passed and there was no redemption taking place by God. And he told the Jews, forget about it. You're not being redeemed. You're stuck over here participating in my Suda. And to show you how he was mazalzel in Binyan HaMikdash, he took out the Kalim that were literally captured by Bayis Rishon and used them as Klei Shtia to drink from in this Suda. When it came to Begadim, he took off his royal garments and put up the garments of the Kohen Gadol to show, I'm the real Kohen, I'm the real priest, I'm the person you should be worshipping and showing your subjugation to. He was mazalzel in the haftachas of the Nevi'im, mazalzel in the promises given to us by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Klal Yisrael, that Suda should have gotten nauseous. Klal Yisrael should not have participated with Simcha in that Suda. But it says in Chazal Shenenu, not only did they eat, but they enjoyed the Suda. It was a bittul of their beliefs of Amuna, a redemption of Gula taking place. That's the chet that caused the Gezeros of the annihilation of Purim. Now we come to the second thing. What was the Gezeros of the Hashem Arabe Kola Yehudim? The Gezeros was to literally cause a Shoah to destroy all men, women, and children of Klal Yisrael, Rachman al-Itzlan. But what did Hashem do? As you read the Megillah, Hashem was amogain. He prevented that from happening. That machshava was never fulfilled. Promise of the Bris Bein Abisarim. How will we save Lamar L'miderech HaTeva? But it was with a Nes type of Nister format. Unlike Pesach, which was a Nes Nigla, it was a Nes Nister. All of a sudden, of all the women that were being brought to the palace to become the queen of Persia, a Jewish girl, Esther Hamalka, was picked. Unbelievable. Of millions, she was the one picked to be the queen, put in place to be ready to save her people later on, to have the political power and the love of Achashverosh, to have an impact upon him to save her people from the Gezeros Kashavs of the Amaleks living in Persia at that point in time, represented by Haman. Mordechai being able to hear a discussion of people who want to assassinate Achashverosh and to be able to relay the information to Esther to tell Achashverosh to save him and to be written safe as Zichronu. So later on, when all of a sudden Achashverosh is having a bad night, can't sleep, brings out the safe Zichronu and he finds out about the fact that Mordechai was never rewarded for saving his life. Mordechai was raised now to a royal position in the court. Not only was Malka Esther an important person in the running of the court of Persia, but Mordechai, Hayhudi, became a major person. Nebuchadnezzar had to lead him in the street, riding a horse with a royal begodim on Mordechai, to show the superiority and the more powerful nature of Mordechai over Haman. The Napachu of the Megillah, of us being told that there is a gzeirah of Achashverosh and Haman, that on this date you're going to be destroyed and eradicated by the anti-Semites and the Amaleks of the Persian Empire, v'nafachu. And all of a sudden world history changes, and instead of them killing us, we're killing them and eradicating momentarily all the Amalekim that were threatening our existence in the Persian Empire, winning the war and surviving that gezeirah. All of this is l'malo mederech ha-teva, the magain, and l'malo mederech ha-teva when it comes to what happened over here. But it's in a nes-nister format, not as obvious as the nes-niglas that took place during the redemption of Pesach. And finally, what happened? The promise, ultimately speaking, of redemption and what happens, not only were they redeemed and saved in Persia, but Persia, through Darius number 2, facilitated the return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuilding the second Beis HaMikdash, to have the political power to do this, to have the financial resources to do this. The political clout of the Rishon HaMalchus of the Persian Empire. Chazal tell us that the Jews showed Hakaras Hatov to the Persian Empire because on the eastern gate, on the top of the wall, there was a plaque showing the capital of Persia to show Hakaras Hatov, as the Mishnah says, the Medites, to the Persian Empire for helping the Jews, the Thracian Amalchos, to rebuild the second commonwealth of Klal Yisrael, to rebuild Bayesheni. So we see over here the promise of Marash of Eretz Yisrael, the Bris Ben Abzon, is likewise part of the theme of the redemption of Purim. What I'm pointing out to you is that history in Klal Yisrael is repetitive. There is a format. There is a formula. The Bris Ben Abzon is the format and the formula. And when you see those phenomena taking place, it reminds us, whether it's a Nes Nigla Nista, Hashem behind the scenes is calling the exact statements of what has to be done, what has to take place, defining the parameters, whether it will be an open miracle, Gula Shazachu, or Gula Shalozachu, will depend upon our spiritual state at that point in time. But Hashem promises that Gulas will take place when it has to be Shalozachu, even though Hashem prefers it to be Bezachu, but Shalozachu, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, if redemption has to take place because promises were made, Hashem says, Lamani Esa, for Hashem to show that he made a promise to Klai, and he keeps that promise, because if Hashem would not keep that promise, it would be a Chilul Shem Shemayim, as the Psukim say explicitly in the Parakim of Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Lamed, Vav in particular. Hashem says, Lamani Esa, even if you're not totally Zocha at that point in time, I promise the Geula, a redemption, a binyan by Hashem is going to take place. But it's going to be a Gula Shelo Zachu. Not a Gula Shezachu like Mitzrayim. But it's going to be a Gula nevertheless. The reason I'm mentioning all of this, Talmidim v'Talmidais, is look what's happening to us now in our contemporary period of time. There's tremendous assimilation and acculturation taking place around the world for many, 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 many years. In fact, the Ramban and the Radak, in their period of 1200s, already said they believe the ultimate Gula at the end of time will be a Gula Shelo Zachu because of the assimilation and acculturation that was taking place. Later on the go, when he told Klal Yisrael, his Talmidim, to pick up from Europe and go to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, he said to them, it's going to be a Gula Shelo Zachu, but nevertheless we got to return. And we have to do this b'derech hateva. So we see that the concept of Gula Shelo Zachu was already enshrined in our Nevi'im and in the Gemara as being a tangible phenomenon we have to always be cognizant of. Later on, as we go to the 1800s, the Netziv saw what's happening in his time, that the Jewish homeland was being built slowly but surely. Even Russia did not prevent them from collecting monies to help build Eretz Yisrael under the Jewish supervision at that point in time. But the real stuff that really became evident happened in the 1900s. The Balfour Declaration, 1917, where the English government told the actual Balfour, Secretary of State, to tell the Jews we're going to basically give the Jews back their Jewish homeland once again, called the Balfour Declaration. The fact that the League of Nations later on in 1922 as such wanted to fulfill this Balfour mandate and have the Jews have their mandate, Palestine mandate, to return to Eretz Israel. When Ramey Simcha of Davinsk, the famous Ar Sameach, saw this happening, when the Avnei Nezer, the great Hasidic Gadol of his Tekufa, saw this happening, they said, this is a Gula Shalom Zachu with Rishi and Hamalchus. Later on, Rav Zevin points out, when the United Nations finally voted on this, and they passed it in 1947, that we should give the Jews back a Jewish homeland. This is Rishi and Hamalchus on a very high practical conceptual level. All of this was taking place. So the promise of return to Eretz Israel is one of the major themes. But at the same time, the reason for galus and punishment taking place at the same time was the amount of assimilation and acculturation. Gula Shalom Zachu. And Gula Shalom Zachu, Chazal compare it to Ani Roichav Al Chamor. It's bumps in the road. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not successful. There are drawbacks. You go forward, you're backwards. It's a bumpy road till you come to the finality of the redemption itself. The attempt of the world through Nazi Germany, Machshman V'Zichron, to annihilate the Jews in the Shoah was a desire to eradicate us. And they did, unfortunately, a job to eradicate 6 million members of Klal Yisrael. But Hashem was the Magen. He prevented them from annihilating all the Jews, which they wanted to do. The Magen came through. And we were able to survive the Holocaust as a Jewish people, reconstitute ourselves, literally take ourselves from Europe and rebuild Eretz Israel. B'lei Hara today, all the neshamas we lost during the Holocaust have been replaced with the way that the Jews are growing in number in Eretz Israel. The amount of people that are there now of Klal of the Jews has superseded that number. So we have reproduced ourselves. We're Baruch Hashem going further and developing our closest and intimacy between ourselves and our Kaddish Baruch Hu. The miracles of our period are in many respects nisim nistarim. In retrospect, you're able to see them. But one thing is for sure, the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind all that's taking place. The fact of the matter is, the ability of Eretz Israel to have survived from 1948 on with mighty wars that were literally brought against the Jewish people. 1948, we didn't have an army. We didn't even have military equipment to fight all the armies of the Egyptian and the Arab world. Over 20 nations of the Arabs attacked us with the most sophisticated armaments. And miraculously, Rabbi Miad Miatim, 2 years later on, they begged for an armistice. A miracle, Rabbi Miad Miatim taking place. The miracles of the Six-Day War. Incredible miracle. All the Gedolim make comments how incredible a Six-Day War against so many nations trying to obliterate us. Simply incredible. A miracle. But it was in the format of a Nes Nister, B'derech HaTeva. We had a fighting army then. We had equipment then. We had strategy, unlike 1940, we didn't have all of this. Rav Kasha points out a very interesting concept. He found a Medrash Chazal, the author of the Torah Shleima, that says, when the Jewish people in Golis will be able to have a development of their own army, even if they're given military equipment by other nations of the world, but they'll be able to defend themselves and fight other entities, other nations that want to destroy them, and they're therefore able to be Megan, protect themselves, and have an army that's a formidable army, realize this is Me'es Hashem Ha'is Azaz, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfilling His promises to us. The IDF is something that is incredible. It's l'malo mederech hateva when it comes to being able to create such an army and being able to create the technology we have. A lot of the technology we use today in the defense of Eretz was created by the Technion and other formats of technology in Eretz Israel itself. In fact, America sometimes takes our technology for their military apparatus to use it to increase their technology in defending themselves. All of this is the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'malo miderech ha-teva. But nevertheless, we see the world is still showing their anti-Semitism. The Arabs have replaced now, as Rav Soloveitchik points out in the name of his father in Zayda, going back to Rav Chaim, they are the Amalekim of our generation who want to Hashma Abe Kol HaYehudim to kill us. Well, the Nazis were the Amalekim of their generation. Our world now, unfortunately, a lot of them are the ones who are continuing this agenda. Hamas is not embarrassed with Hezbollah or Iran to articulate this agenda. But we have to remember, the Bris Bein HaBesarim is eternal. It guarantees Klal Yisrael, Shebechol Dor V'Dor Imel Leichal Aseh, Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzilei Miyadam, Hashem promises, I will save you and protect you, and you'll survive against all odds. We see that happening now. We see the opposition of many parts of the world. Anti-Semitism is being demonstrated throughout the world. We're able to see who's with us and who's basically against us. We're experiencing now the epic called the Gog and Magog phenomenon of Chevlei Mashiach. It's going to be a painful period, a tremendous Nisayon as we're experiencing, but we do see light at the end of the tunnel. We're able to fight back, and we're now in the mode of destroying the enemy who wanted to destroy us a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. The war's not over yet, but we do see a ray of hope. We as Klal Yisrael have to remember, Ma'aseh Simchat Rabbanim, we learn from Jewish history. There's a Bris Bein HaBesarim. There's a promise given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you actually look carefully, you see this miracle taking place slowly but surely. A gula shel hazachu, but it's a little difficult sometimes to see, because there's sometimes drawbacks. But we will overcome. So we're about to celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim. It's a gili to us. Our gula is very similar with Rishon HaMalchus that our forefathers experienced when it came to Purim. Rishon HaMalchus brought Eretz back into existence now, and we're now experiencing a redemptive process. The amount of Torah being learned in Eretz now is on levels we never saw before in Jewish history. The amount of yeshivas and seminaries for women. Interesting, because of the terrible attack upon us, what Hamas did, Napachu, instead of factionalizing the Jewish people, brought us together with an achdus and allowed many people to want to do tshuva. There was a movement that was created, tshuva movement, to want to put on tefillin, to wear tzitzis, to be shomer Shabbos. Instead of literally destroying Yiddishkeit, ironically, Napachu, it's turned around to facilitate another key move in Kibbalah we experienced by Purim, we're experiencing now. I'm trying to give you some hope and perspective. Jewish history is full of continual cycles. We're now holding in the final Geula, the final redemption. And Hashem promises, whether you deserve it or not, L'mani Eser, it's going to be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Eretz Yisrael will be restored. The cities will be rebuilt. The ability to survive and thrive in Eretz Yisrael, as in Eretz Avas Chalav Davash, and all the promises made in the Torah will take place in our time. Slowly but surely, these miracles are taking place. We should daven with more kavana, say Tehillim each and every day, be mispala with tremendous ishtapchus alev. Hashem should save us, watch over us, guide us, and bring the ultimate redemption with Mashiach Tzidkenu. The gula shelo zachu should end up at the end, because of tshuva klais, the gula shezachu, as the Rambam says, sof Yisrael asos tshuva, at the end of time. Let us pray and hope and miss as we celebrate Purim in a couple of days from now. It will give us the ability to think about what's happening today and the similarities between the events of Purim and the events today. And give us hope and give us bitachon. V'shan haba b'Yerushalayim habanuya, v'chein yiratzon, And when you come to Yom Tov Purim, realize the Yeshua is on the way, who will be able to see it, will be able to experience it, and the final redemption of Klal Yisrael, as promised by Hashem, will take place, hopefully be Amenu, here at Zion, Shehabonu Beis HaMikdash, B'meimenu, Amen V'Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.